Well, I'm standing out on my porch right now watching my mothership.
UFOs are real. They live among us.
Which I communicate with every night. It moves around in the sky.
And they've already landed.
Well, I had the experience of it coming down out of heaven in the light.
It's Coast to Coast AM.
Usually invisible to me, and I asked it to come closer so I could get on.
Coast to Coast AM, weeknights at 7 on News Radio 830, KHVH.
The following paid program does not necessarily reflect the views of News Radio 830, KHVH, its staff, or management.
Aloha and welcome to the Drew Lawrence Show, your guide to living the enlightened life. Aloha, Drew.
And welcome to the Drew Lawrence Show, Living an Enlightened Life. I hope everybody had a good week. And a lot of interesting things coming up in the sky again this coming week. Astrologically speaking, of course, please remember that all of our astrological calculations here on the Drew Lawrence Show are done according to Vedic astrological calculation. Vedic astrology, or Jyotish, comes from India. It's the original system of astrology dating back to about 3000 BC. And there is a difference in calculation than the one that you find in the newspaper under horoscopes, which we like to call the Western system. So what exactly is happening in the near future? Well, as many of you may know, we have a partial lunar eclipse occurring a week from today. That'll be Saturday, the 16th of August. And we will not see that in Hawaii because it'll be around 11 a.m., 11 in the morning on Saturday. And, of course, I doubt that we'll be seeing the moon at that time of day. So the moon will be edging forward in the first few minutes, sign of Aquarius. And, of course, eclipsing the moon will be the north node, or sometimes called the dragon's head in Sanskrit. We call it Rahu. In the latter degrees of Capricorn, that's where we will find Rahu. This eclipse will occur in the constellation of Dhanishta, according to Vedic astrological calculation. Dhanishta is the constellation that generally brings danger and disturbance because its ruler is Mars. So an eclipse is generally an inauspicious event since planets, which are the luminaries, the givers of light, which is the sun or the moon, in this case the moon, are overshadowed or eclipsed by other celestial bodies. And in Vedic mythology and astrological calculation, we always find the presence of either lunar node, Rahu or Ketu, in conjunction with the eclipse planet. Rahu or Ketu are called Chaya Graha, or shadow planets. And their job is to carry and project the shadow upon the other planets. So what does that mean? Generally, what this is about is anything that we have repressed. We as a collective identity, the people living on Earth and everything that goes on here, whatever we've repressed and it needs to be brought to the surface or some light shed upon it, that's what an eclipse can generate. So that's what this is about. So that way, whatever the conflict may be, it can be resolved or removed. Eclipse effects may be felt during the actual time of the eclipse, but they can also reverberate for months to come. So, what might happen? Now, you have to realize, my friends, that these are not positive effects because eclipses are not positive effects in general. So, what could possibly happen? Here are some of the possibilities. Again, we could find the price of materials produced through mining increasing, such as gold, coal, natural gas. Cost of iron and steel production is likely to rise. People who are building contractors will lose money on investments and developments, which doesn't speak that well for the house building business. Price of agricultural products, such as grain, vegetables, fruit, and perhaps tea will also continue to escalate. Even some countries on the planet may begin a program of rationing certain foods and basic necessities. There may also be a scandal at a newspaper or television network whose intent it is to harm a political candidate instead of merely reporting the news. And finally, the cost of electricity may also rise. So, what to do during an eclipse? The best thing to do during an eclipse is meditate, pray, and chant mantras. That's the best thing to do during an eclipse. And that's what they would do in Vedic India, and according to yoga philosophy. And especially if you can immerse yourself in water, even up to your knees or up to your waist, while the eclipse is on, that is also considered to be very favorable. So if you can't do that, don't worry too much about that, but it would be a great time to set aside some time for meditation and prayer during that time. So that's the eclipse coming up. Now, interestingly, on the same day, we are going to have the sun moving out of Cancer and into Leo, according to the Vedic calculation. Sun will be in Leo from the 16th of August and on to about the middle of September. The sun changes signs at the middle of each month. So sun in Leo is a very powerful position for the sun because the sun rules the sign of Leo. So this is when kings are born, queens, people who are leaders, managers, authority figures, and people who are take charge kinds of people, very independent and autonomous. So the sun will be in a very good sign, and that's when people act with great confidence, self-assurance, and inspiration. Now, before I get on to the weekly business planner, which I like to offer you every week, I want to say I neglected to say at the top that today is a special show because we are going to be discussing planetary gemstones, or the power of gemstones and how effective and how useful gemstones can actually be according to ancient yoga and Vedic tradition. So our guest on the show is going to be Kalindi Lawrence. Kalindi is a gemologist, and she is going to be coming on a little bit later. Now, let us turn to our weekly business planner. Our business planner is for people who are doing important things. They need to know when to do them, which days are going to be the best days in the coming week. And it can be business, but it doesn't have to be business only. It can be anything that's important for you, such as buying a car, moving into a house, buying a house, selling a house, signing a contract, interviewing for a job. Could be anything under the sun, really. If it's important, you need to do it on the right day. Timing, my friends, is everything. So what are the days like in the coming week? Remember, our system is the following. Gold, silver, bronze, gray. Those are the four categories that we use. Everybody knows what gold, silver, and bronze means, but let me be specific. Gold are highly favorable days for success in all endeavors. Silver, very favorable days for success. Bronze, average days. This would be like your typical day. Good enough, you can get by, you can do it on that day. And then gray, finally, are problematic days. These days should be avoided for all important work. Anything that you need to do, that you need to succeed, should not really be done on a gray day if you can avoid it. Okay. Saturday. That's today. We are running a gray day all day today, all day tomorrow, Sunday. And we are running a gray day Monday until 1:35 p.m. Hawaii time. So today, tomorrow, and half of Monday, avoid if you can for important work. Okay? And from 1:35 p.m. Monday, the 11th, gray turns to gold. So this is gold is ideal. It's perfect. So if you got things to do, The gold will run from Monday at 1:35 p.m. Tuesday all day is gold. Wednesday all day is gold. So those are your absolutely excellent days for setting things into motion, for doing your important work this week. Half a Monday, all day Tuesday, all day Wednesday. Thursday, again, will become a gray day, followed by Friday as a gray day. And Saturday will be gray to bronze at 10:33 a.m. So after 10:33 Saturday, then we will have a bronze day, which is an average day. So those are your days for the coming week. Saturday the 16th is also the full moon. You've got a partial eclipse of the moon, you've got a full moon, and you've got sun changing signs going into Leo. So after the break, we are going to be discussing the power of planetary gemstones and gemstones in general, and why they have the powers that they do, and what is the history and the ancient tradition behind it. So join me, please, after the break, and this is a very, very fascinating subject.
This is Drew Lawrence inviting you to join me every Saturday from 5 to 6 p.m. right here on KHVH News Radio 830 for the Drew Lawrence Show, Living an Enlightened Life. We will be discussing a wide variety of interesting topics and enlightening subjects, among them spirituality, yoga, meditation, Vedic astrology, business and success strategy, human potential, relationships, female empowerment, healing, the power of gemstones, and technology. I'm sure there will be something of interest for you, especially if you're a person who is trying to access your higher purpose or you are seeking to expand the spiritual meaning in your life. We will also feature interviews with fascinating guests from around the world on a variety of subjects. So please, join us right here every Saturday from 5 to 6 p.m. for the Drew Lawrence Show, Living an Enlightened Life.
Financial number. Six is the feminine financial number. Also, creative energy is the six. So three eights in a row would be an especially auspicious time, especially for our Chinese friends. They are in particular very keen on the number eight. So that's why what yesterday was about. Now, I want to tell you about something we're going to do next week. And we invite you to participate. Send us an email with a question that you want to know regarding your life, a question you feel you would like to have answered. And I will answer questions from some of our listeners using Vedic astrology. So in order to participate in this, you need to send us an email. And our email address is drewlawrenceshow@gmail.com. That's drewlawrenceshow@gmail.com. So send us an email with your name, birth date, birth time, and birthplace, and your question. Then I will take some of the ones that we receive, and I'll answer some of the questions on air using the ancient science of Vedic astrology. So please send them in, and that should be fun and interesting. Okay, so let's talk a little bit now about gemstones, their hidden value and purpose. Everybody loves gemstones. These gemstones are pretty. They're rare. They're colorful. They look nice. And most importantly, and they're valuable. But most importantly, gemstones actually have power. Each gemstone gives off a certain vibration or wavelength or remember that the planets affect us through electromagnetism. The ancients knew this. That's why all the ancient civilizations actually used astrology and astrological calculation regularly to run their countries and their governments. So the planets affect us through electromagnetism. You see this with the sun and the growing seasons, with the moon at times, and the female monthly cycle, for example. So the planets also affect us subtly, emotionally, mentally, psychologically, and most especially, karmically. We get our karma doled out to us, good karma, bad karma, neutral karma, through the agency of the planets. That's how it works, my friends. So the planets affect us through electromagnetism. How does it work? We are people or beings with a magnetic field, an electromagnetic field around us. This is a fact. So when we have planets, the planets will affect us with certain frequencies. What would be the easy way to explain it? If we take light and we refract the light spectrum, we get the spectrum having refracted light, and we get the seven major colors or rays of the spectrum. Each one of those rays is connected to one of the major planets, and that's, of course, the law of sevens in the universe, 7 days of the week, seven notes in the scale, seven planets, seven chakras or energy centers in the body, seven seas. You can go on and on. So the red ray is connected to the sun planet. The orange ray is the moon. The yellow ray is Mars. The green ray is Mercury. The blue ray is Jupiter. The indigo ray is Venus. The violet ray is Saturn. The ultraviolet ray is Rahu, the north node of the moon. And the infrared ray is Ketu, the south node of the moon. So these rays are permeating the universe at all times. So this is how it works. Now, gemstones have a similar vibration or are operating with these similar rays. And that's how it works. So how it has been used since time immemorial. If you have a weakened or afflicted planet at the time of your birth that is causing problems in your life, health problems, marital problems, financial problems, business problems, whatever area of life that you may be having some challenges in, and usually we all have one or two, then you can oftentimes circumvent, change, or positively affect that weakened planet and subsequently turn that karma around, at least to some extent. Sometimes I have seen the effects to be absolutely dramatic. Sometimes they are very subtle. I had a client, he was having trouble with his teenage daughter. She was 16. She was being a little rebellious and hard to deal with. I recommended to him that he should get her a moonstone. And a moonstone is for the moon, for the mind, for the heart, for the attitude. So he got her a moonstone, put that on her, and everything changed. She became more peaceful, more agreeable, more easy to deal with. He was so struck by what an effect it had had in her life that he went out and bought another moonstone for his second daughter, who was 13, and put that on her. And he said his household turned into a bit of heaven, as he put it. So, I mean, these things can work, and very powerfully. So that's how they work, and you just need to know what planets and what gems are connected, which is what we're about to tell you today. Now, historically, what do we find? Historically, we have found that in the ancient times, kings and queens would wear crowns on their heads. They don't do it as much nowadays, at least not in public. But they used to all the time. And on each post of the crown would be these fabulous jewels. They call them the crown jewels, did they not? And you'd have a big ruby here and a big blue sapphire and a diamond and yellow sapphire, whatever it may be, pearls. Now, the reason is because the stones would pick up these electromagnetic vibrations from the universe, from the planets, in effect, and transmit them through a conductor into the head of the king or the queen, because the crown is worn on the head. And it was set in metal, gold, or a mixed metal, gold, copper, silver, whatever it may have been, because metals are conductors. And they conduct that energy, those electromagnetic forces, straight into the brain. So who needs to be the person who's on the ball the most, who's the sharpest, the king or the queen, because their decisions are affecting everybody. So that's what the whole idea behind the crown jewels was. So that's pretty interesting. Now, let me just say that in Vedic astrological calculation, the sun signs are different. So subsequently, your birthstones are different. In 1912, the American National Jewelers Retail Association changed the birthstones to suit their need to sell particular stones. That's what happened in 1912. So what you think are your birthstones that you've read in the back of a calendar are not really your birthstones. This is manufactured to suit the retail needs of the American National Jewelers Retail Association. The real gemstones are what we're talking about today. Let me also say you could get onto my website, www.drewlawrence.com, click on gemstones, and all this information that I'm telling you about today, you can read it in much, much greater detail. So, what are your actual birthstones? If you are born between January 14th to February 11th, you are a Capricorn, and your birthstone would be blue sapphire or blue tourmaline or lapis lazuli. If you're born between February 12th and March 13th, then you would be an Aquarius. And the same birthstones, blue sapphire, etc. I'm going to go through these fairly quickly. March 14th to April 12th is Pisces. Those are the yellow stones, beginning with yellow sapphire. April 13th to May 13th is Aries. That is red coral. May 14th to June 14th is Taurus. That is diamond or natural zircon. June 15th to July 15th is Gemini. That is emerald, aquamarine, green tourmaline, peridot, green stones. And then July 16th to August 15th is Cancer, and that would be pearl or moonstone. August 16th to September 15th is Leo, that is ruby or garnet. September 16th to October 16th is Virgo, that's emerald, aquamarine, again, green stones. October 17th to November 15th is Libra, diamond or natural zircon. Then November 16th to December 14th, we have Scorpio, red coral. And December 15th to January 13th, Sagittarius, yellow sapphire, and the rest of the yellow stones. So that would be sun signs and stones. All right. So we're going to break now. We have a break coming up, and it's time for the news. So head out. And when we come back, we'll be with Lindy Lawrence, Demolitive, and Fast Information Attempt. Stay tuned, Drew Lawrence.
I'm Linda Dela Cruz in the Clear Channel News Center. President Bush is concerned about freedom and human rights in China. In his weekly radio broadcast, the president said in order for China to achieve its full potential, the nation must provide its citizens with greater freedom.
This trip has reaffirmed my belief that men and women who aspire to speak their conscience and worship their God are no threat to the future of China. They are the people who will make China a great nation in the 21st century.
Bush is in China for the Summer Olympics and has met with the Chinese president. Russia and Georgia seem to be headed for wider war as fighting continues in a conflict that's already killed hundreds. Georgia's foreign ministry accuses Russia of massive military aggression. Russia's Prime Minister Vladimir Putin is accusing Georgia of genocide. Here at home, presidential candidate and Punahou grad Barack Obama strolled along Kailua Beach this morning with 6 to 8 of his security guards. Obama visited his 85-year-old grandmother, Madeline Dunham, in Makiki after yesterday's rally at Ke'ihi Lagoon Beach Park. No one was injured after a fire destroyed a home in Ma'ili this morning at 7 a.m. on Farrington Highway. The fire was under control within 20 minutes. The fire displaced a woman and 5 children ranging in the age of 3 to 15 years old. Greg Takayama, University of Hawaii Manoa spokesman, has some new duties. He's been appointed Director of Community and Government Relations in the Chancellor's Office. Takayama will continue as spokesman for UH Manoa while managing the University Relations Team and overseeing government relations. He's been the Director of Communications at UH Manoa since April 2007. Taking a look at our island weather, it's partly cloudy with numerous showers. The overnight low is going to be reaching 75 degrees. Winds are coming in from the east at 10 to 15 miles per hour. I'm Linda Dela Cruz in the Clear Channel News Center.
All right. Welcome back to Lawrence Show, Living Life and Life. I'm your host, Lawrence, and we are talking about the power of gemstones today. And we've been telling you about kings and queens and planetary gems and all this kind of thing. Now, also ancient sources and sacred texts from around the world have recognized that gemstones emit powerful energies which are capable of influencing the fate and destiny of mankind. Effective uses selected gemstones can energize a person and produce positive consequences. They can also drive out negative energies, which may result in physical sickness, psychological imbalance, or emotional suffering. Gemstones are considered to be carriers of the divine rays emanating from God. These are the rays according to the spectrum, as we've discussed. And, you know, I think, too, in Hawaiian tradition, the rainbow is a very sacred symbol and sacred energy. So gems can deliver peace, prosperity, and happiness. They can ease life's difficulties, award the wearer with fame, good reputation, power, success, and fulfillment, and peace, my friends. So that is how gemstones can affect us. So we are going to welcome now our guest, who is gemologist Kalindi Lawrence. Kalindi, are you there?
I'm here, Drew. How are you?
I'm very well. How are you?
I'm good, thank you.
Kalindi is all the way from Ireland, so we're talking with Kalindi now. So, Kalindi, you are a gemologist.
Yes,
what is
I
a gemologist?
From,
tell, the, Tell the folks what it is.
Gemology is a focus on gemstones, both precious and semi-precious. And you would have no idea how many stones are out there. You know, people are sort of only aware of the major ones like the rubies and the emeralds, but there's hundreds and hundreds out there. A lot of them would be too soft to wear in jewelry, but still you study those too. You have to be able to figure out what's what.
Yeah, so you're an expert on gemstones, correct? That's what you were trained to be.
That's correct, yes.
And I understand you study with the Gemological Institute of America in Los Angeles.
Uh-huh.
And what's this about the graduating standard? You have to appraise the gemstones in the final exam and get them all correct? None
yeah,
wrong?
The whole hoss. You know, if, you, if you're a gemologist and you're appraising something and it's man-made as opposed to natural, it can cost someone a lot of money, you know, wasted money on the wrong thing. So you should be very careful when you're selecting and buying gemstones, especially because nowadays with the market, you're going to have people out there that will cheat. Not everyone. It's always just a couple of people that you need. And, you know, unfortunately, people get cheated all the time. With technology, there's so many different ways of treating stones. They can bleach them, dye them, heat them, even irradiate them.
Why do they subject these different processes?
Mostly it's just to improve their appearance. It can change the color or improve the clarity, improve its luster. So they are genuine treatments. They do work, but what you get out of the ground as opposed to what you have after the treatment can very often be very different.
Yeah, because the thing is, ladies and gentlemen, you have to have gemstones that are real, not fake. You can't have man-made stuff. It does not have the same energetic vibration. What is this about the fact that they inject the stones with glass, Kalindi? They'll take a ruby. Won't they inject it with glass sometimes?
Yeah, they can do that. Stones can have small cracks or inclusions going down through them.
Mm-hmm.
So sometimes they'll inject a glass with the same refractive index as the stone.
Wow.
And you can't really see it. You have to look at it in a microscope. But by injecting the glass in, it stops you from seeing these little veins, and it looks like the stone is more a solid color.
Yeah.
So that's why they put the glass in.
Wow.
You need to be careful of that one, though. If you're, you know, buying stones from a jeweler, always make sure that you ask that they're not treated, that they're not synthetic. The jeweler, if he's a good jeweler, he should tell you anyway. And I'm not
some
trying to scare
everyone. Some jewelers sometimes don't even know, do they?
Pardon?
Sometimes jewelers don't know.
Oh, that's true, yeah. Yeah, so, you know, you have jewelers there that, you know, they wouldn't necessarily be gemologists. So, you know, they know a lot about jewelry, but they don't know a lot about the treatment of stones.
Yeah.
So, yeah, you need to be careful with who you approach to buy stones from, especially, you know, if people you go to on vacation to the likes of Thailand and, you know, buy stones in a market, you need to be careful.
Okay, let's look at some of the gemstones. Let's go through it planet by planet and, you know, see how many we can do in the time we have. So for the sun, what are the stones that are recommended to wear if you have a weakened sun in your birth chart?
Well, the precious version would be ruby, and the semi-precious would be rhodolite garnet, which is a nice pink garnet. You have to remember that garnets, now they're the whole family, so there's lots of different ones and different colors. But for ruby and rhodolite garnet for the sun, you know, they're sort of a pinkish-red color.
Okay, and by wearing those, one would increase one's confidence, self-assurance, self-esteem, and strengthen one's health overall and business success. Now, for the moon, what do you recommend for the moon?
Either pearl or moonstone.
And pearls are so popular now. There's so many of them being made or being grown. Cultured pearls after Mikimoto's breakthrough. I would usually recommend that people just go for the pearl rather than the moonstone because there isn't a huge difference in price.
Okay. And what about cultured pearls? Because people wonder about, are cultured pearls going to have the same kind of effect as a natural pearl?
Yes, they do, because the cultured pearls, to create them, they put a small seed into the mollusk. The seed is usually a small ball of shell, natural shell. So technically, it's the same material all the way through. Then the small seed is coated in nacre. And
nacre is that pearlized substance, yeah?
Exactly, yeah. And then you have all the different types of mollusks that would give you the Tahitian pearls, the lovely dark colors. You can also get the golden pearls. You get those down, beautiful ones in Australia. You have white pearls. You have, new to the market, would be pink pearls, which are really pretty. And also, believe it or not, you can actually get pearls out of conches, which are quite rare. They're beautiful pink color, so you can get them out of conch as well.
Wow. Now, I should say that if you are working as a healer or an advisor, white pearl is recommended. If you are somebody who works in government or protecting people, looking after people, then pink pearls are recommended, yeah?
Yes.
And then if you're a business person making money, then golden pearls are recommended. And if you're a worker or a laborer, then a black pearl is recommended. Okay, so the next one,
Drew, as well. You just need to wear one pearl. You don't need to wear the whole strand.
Yes, very important.
One pearl
is
enough.
Yeah, and around your neck, against your chest, is how I mostly recommend it to my clients. Mm-hmm. Now let's go to Mars. For Mars, what do you recommend?
Red coral would be the precious, or the semi-precious would be carnelian. International markets are pretty low or getting lower on red coral because it's an endangered species. They protect it. So, the red coral in the good qualities is harder to come across nowadays.
Okay. Now, for Mars, it's for energy, for dynamism, for taking initiative, for strength. Sometimes it could help to reduce anger. It's something you have to be careful with the red stones. I forgot to mention pearl. When you wear a pearl for moon or moonstone for moon, this is to stabilize the emotions, calm the emotions in the mind, and, give you greater balance. Okay, so moon, Mars, then we get to Mercury. What stones do you recommend for Mercury?
The precious would be emerald. Semi-precious, I usually go for green tourmaline or peridot. You can also wear aquamarine, but aquamarine is, it's actually quite expensive. So the emerald. Now, the thing to remember with emeralds, almost all of them are treated.
Yeah.
They are oiled, what's called oiled. And it's just a case of rubbing a thin oil into the surface of the emerald, and this is not a big shock. A decade or so ago, there was a huge big drop off in the market of emeralds being purchased because there was I think a primetime TV show about the treatment of emeralds, and then all of a sudden people stopped buying them. Almost all emeralds are treated. You will not really find one that isn't, and it doesn't affect the stone. This particular treatment is okay.
Oh, okay. Now, it's pretty hard to find an emerald these days without some kind of inclusion in it, without some kind of flaw that you can actually see with the eye, correct?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because, you can find them, but they're very expensive without flaws.
Emeralds are actually technically more expensive than diamonds. If you take the clarity and the cut and the color and all into account, emeralds can be far more expensive than diamonds. They're so brittle, it's very difficult to get ones of any substantial size. So you have to be careful when you're wearing your emeralds not to, you know, wear them in the swimming pool, not to put them in any abrasive cleaners. If you're going to clean an emerald, all you just do is use a soft toothbrush and maybe some running water. That's about it.
Emeralds are very fragile. Now, for mercury, emerald, and the green stones, this is for the nervous system, ladies and gentlemen. This is what you wear it for. Calming your nerves, bringing mental clarity. Sometimes you know how your mind goes, and it goes too quickly, and it's filled with thoughts, and it won't stop thinking, and you can't settle down, and maybe you can't sleep very well, and you have insomnia, and you're worried, and you're fretful, and you're fearful. Then you need an emerald or you need the green stones to calm the nervous system. Okay, next one after Mercury would be Jupiter. And what stones do you recommend for Jupiter, Kalindi?
The precious is yellow sapphire, which is one of my favorites. The semi-precious would be citrine.
Yellow citrine, yeah.
Yellow citrine.
Yeah, some people don't know citrine is yellow. Most people do, but...
Yeah, and one thing to keep in mind with citrine, they have figured out that they can heat treat amethyst to certain temperatures that will actually turn it yellow and technically turn it into citrine. So
purple, they can turn purple amethyst yellow.
Yes. Under enough heat, it can turn the stones. This is what happens naturally in the ground. You know, over time, the heat and the pressure under the surface of the earth, this is what gives stones their color and, you know, everything else. So it would be happening naturally, but let's just say humans are bringing it along.
Right. Okay, so those are the stones for Jupiter. Jupiter's stones, yellow sapphire, yellow citrine, are for wealth, my friends. Cash flow. You want money to take place in your life. You want your cash flow to continue. You want your finances to improve and your economic situation to improve. Those are the stones you wear. Yellow sapphire or citrine. Also, it is great as an aid in childbirth. If you're having trouble having a child or dealing with your child, that is what you would wear yellow sapphire for. Also, Jupiter is the spiritual planet. In Sanskrit, the word for Jupiter is guru. Guru means teacher or spiritual teacher. So if you want to increase your spiritual experience, your communion with God, with spirit, and you want to increase your level of realization and spiritual understanding, compassion for others, and kindness, then yellow sapphire is a stone that you can wear. All right, so that is Jupiter. Let us go on to Venus, Kalindi. This is one that seems to be very, very popular among the ladies. So would you tell us about Venus's stones?
The diamond. Yeah, diamonds are a girl's best friend. And if you can't afford a diamond, then you can wear a natural zircon, which is not like a CZ, these cubic zircons. They're man-made. So for Venus, you would wear the diamond or the natural zircon.
Right. And diamonds, everybody knows where to find diamonds. They're all over the place. And you can get blinged out yourself if you like.
Yeah, and they're finding them in really great colors, too.
Yeah.
You know, diamonds now are, you know, you had the regular colorless ones. But most people have at least one diamond, even if it's a small one.
Now they got cognac diamonds and things like this. Well, what's that about?
Cognac diamonds, they came up with a fancy name, cognac and champagne diamonds. Most diamonds that are taken out of the ground would be brown in color. Or
they would
yellowish.
Be lower end, lower quality, no?
Lower end, yeah. And they sell them now with this fancy name saying they're cognac or champagne diamonds. When in actual fact, they're probably the cheapest. Black diamonds also, that's the lower end stuff. But, you know, they're trying to find places in the market now to sell these on, so they give them fancy names, and people think they're great. But, you know, your regular nice colorless diamonds, also they have the beautiful fancy yellows. They even have orange or blue ones. Yeah, great colors out there.
Some of those are quite expensive.
Oh, yeah. That's a whole different realm once you start going off into those colors.
Yeah. The Hope Diamond, the famous Hope Diamond, which sits now in the Smithsonian Institute, was actually stolen from the crown of a statue or a deity of the goddess Sita in South India back in the day. I don't remember the date. And that's where that Hope Diamond came from. And that's, I think, a 45-carat blue diamond.
Oh, off the top of my head, I can't remember. It's a whopper, though.
Yeah. Okay, so for Venus and the diamonds, that is for love, marriage, relationships. So people kind of did get that correct in terms of that's what it relates to. And Venus is the planet of love, after all. And let us go on to the next one. Saturn for Saturday. And that is, what are the stones for Saturn, Kalindi?
Blue sapphire. Or the semi-precious, you could wear lapis. Blue topaz, but, you know, blue topaz is a stone that you need to be wary of. They've been treating them with the radiation. So you'd be better off going for lapis lazuli, which is the beautiful golden veins going down through us. If you're going to wear the lapis, obviously, it has to touch your skin because it's opaque.
Okay, so for Saturn, the blue stones, this is for strength, big success, large-scale projects, things that require a lot of time, money, energy, a lot of effort. Wearing blue sapphire can also help you with sorrow, sadness, grief, mental depression, or despondency. And Saturn is known to be the planet of karmic difficulty and also destiny. So to improve one's destiny and to help to deal with very trying karmic circumstances and difficulties, blue sapphire is often recommended. Let us move on to the nodes of the moon, the dragon's head and the dragon's tail. For the dragon's head, which we call Rahu, Kalindi, what do you recommend?
Hessonite, which is one of those garnet cousins, and it's sort of an orangey-brown color. Really pretty stones. You don't usually hear about them in the West. Indians would definitely wear it a lot for Rahu. They also call it Gomed. Really, really pretty stone. I like it.
Yeah, sometimes a brownish color, sometimes a honey color, no?
Mm-hmm.
And why?
It works really well.
Yeah, it does work very effectively. This is also one of these sort of karmic stones when things aren't going very well. If in your birth chart, according to Vedic astrological calculation, you are going through a Rahu major period or minor period, wearing hessonite can be very effective in reducing negative experiences, sadness, depression, and also loss, helping to fend off loss and reversal in your life. And then the last one is K2. K2 is the south node of the moon, known as the dragon's tail. So what do we recommend for K2, Kalindi?
The precious would be cat's eye chrysoberyl, and the semi-precious would be tiger's eye, which a lot of people would be aware of. That's a great psychic stone. But yeah. The cat's eye chrysoberyl can be quite expensive. It literally looks like a cat's eye. As you move a light or a torch over it, it will have the eye of the cat going from side to side, you know.
Right.
Pretty amazing.
And by torch, Kalindi means flashlight, correct?
Yes.
So cat's eye is a mystical stone. It is the eye of the cat. And by wearing that, one can increase one's vision, seeing past, present, and future. K2 is known as the planet of moksha, or liberation. So if there's anything you need to become free from, what to speak of repeated birth and death, according to reincarnation, but any circumstance that you need to liberate yourself from in life, then cat's eye may be the stone for you. All right. So let's just wrap up the interview, Kalindi. This has been very fascinating. By mentioning a couple of examples, and can you give us an example? You were telling me about this lady you gave a ruby to, and what happened with her when she put on the ruby?
She'd be quite a quiet woman. Put the ruby on, and within a few days found out that her husband was having not one affair, but actually five, all at the same time. So it really empowered her to go off and track them all down and pull her husband in, and everything was resolved. But if you knew this woman, she would never do anything like that normally. So it definitely empowered her to grab the bull by the horns.
Okay. Thanks so much. Our guest has been Kalindi Lawrence. You can reach her at www.padmakosha.com. That's spelled P as in Peter, ADMAKOSHA.com, or you can access her through my website, DrewLawrence.com. Thank you, Kalindi.
Thank you, Drew.
Bye-bye. Okay, our guest has been Kalindi Lawrence. Fascinating information regarding gemology and gemstones. Now, I want to remind you once again, please send us an email with a question with your name, birth date, birth time, and birthplace, and your question. And next week, we're going to answer some of your questions on air using the ancient science of Vedic astrology. We'll see if what we get and how many responses we get and how much time we have. Okay, so that's coming up next week. Now, our discussion topic next week is going to be meditation, the power of taming the mind. So we're going to get into meditation in greater detail, tell you how it works, and how you can use it, and give you some simple methods of using meditation, especially for those of you who have trouble or who have had trouble in the past meditating. Now, I want to thank Sonia, my producer, Linda, who's on the phones. We didn't get around to the phones. I've been so absorbed here this week with gems. And our friend Justin on the board. Justin, we wishing you wonderful congratulations. Justin is getting married, ladies and gentlemen, next week. So we're wishing you, and he is getting married on a silver day. So he already chose the right day somehow or other. Good man, Justin. Good karma coming to you. So he won't be here next week. And I'm sure somebody else will be manning the board. And if you want to be in our mailing list, please send us an email at drewlawrenceshow@gmail.com. And that's where you're going to send your questions and your birth information to as well. drewlawrenceshow@gmail.com. Thank you. Aloha. This has been the Drew Lawrence Show.
May you live an enlightened life. For more information, please visit us on the web at www.drewlawrence.com.
If you're looking for some direction in your
the
life,
live news
and want
at the
to
top
see
of the
how
hour,
will likely unfold
this is
for you,
News Radio 830.
Why not have a big astrological consultation? If you're on the verge of making an important